Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. Today, we're speaking with the author of a book called Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. His name is Richard Louve, and he's coming to East Tennessee for the Trails and Trilliums Festival. That's going to take place April 10th through the 12th in Suwannee. Louve is also the chairman and co-founder of the Children and Nature Network, a nonprofit organization. In 2008, the National Audubon Society awarded Louve its highest honor, the Audubon Medal. Louve is also the author of The Nature Principle, Reconnecting with Life in the Virtual Age. In this interview, we're talking about why connecting with nature means more than just going outdoors. Richard Louve, thank you for speaking with us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's start with your own experiences. You personally, could you maybe contrast your own childhood growing up and how you spent time in nature with that of maybe your children and what their experiences are like in the more modern world?
Well, at the risk of sounding annoyingly nostalgic, like a lot of people my age, I spent a lot of time outdoors as a kid. I spent hours and days in the woods behind my house. They were my woods. I owned those woods in my heart. And they very much became a part of who I am. They're still in my heart. And today, one little boy told me early on when I was interviewing that the reason he prefers playing indoors is because that's where all the electrical outlets are. It's not quite that simple because kids still do get outdoors some, but often it is very, very structured, and they're kind of surrounded by fear of strangers, fear of nature itself from adults. There's been a great withdrawal from nature, a great going indoors by an entire generation and possibly future generations, and that has big implications for psychological health, physical health, even spiritual health.
Well, along those lines, I want to read an excerpt of your book, Last Child in the Woods. In that book, you write about the obesity epidemic among children, the idea that children are becoming more obese, more unhealthy compared to previous generations. And in the book, you write that more exercise would help. The usual suggestion, you write, is organized sports. But consider this, the obesity epidemic coincides with the greatest increase in organized children's sports in history. Experts on child obesity now concede that current approaches don't seem to be working. What are kids missing that organized sports, including soccer and Little League, cannot provide? So that's from the book Last Child in the Woods. What's going on? I mean, it seems like a paradox. We have this big increase in organized children's sports, and at the same time, we still have an increase in obesity.
Well, let me say first, I'm not discounting the importance of organized sports for children. It's certainly good that they're at least getting that. The problem is that the nature of that exercise is sporadic. It's largely adult supervised. Kids are not making up their own rules, making up their own games, and this is essential for the development of what child psychologists call executive function in the early years, the ability to be your own boss. A lot of times the kids sit on the bench and then they eat potato chips and cookies after the practice. And the practice doesn't happen that often. The games don't literally happen that often. That's very much in contrast to the kind of nonstop movement that kids once did and that they still need to do. You get home, you throw your books on the couch, and you run outside and play. Now, when you play in nature, it's good to get outside and get outside exercise, extraordinarily important, but there's something about playing in nature or being in nature that is even more conducive to good things. There have been studies of adults, for instance, one group in indoor gyms on stepmasters and all of those kind of machines, and then comparing the results for those adults with another set of adults who's burning exactly the same number of calories, but doing it in outdoor exercise, green exercise, gardening, hiking. Both groups burning the same number of calories. Both groups get better. but the one that is doing it in nature gets even better. So there's margin of improvement that we really don't understand, that that many theorists believe has something to do with our genetics, that we are still hunters and gatherers biologically. We need this. Our kids need this.
You write about the idea of biophilia. What is that? That seems to be part of what you're talking about right now.
That was the biophilia hypothesis. E.O. Wilson at Harvard came up with that a few decades ago. And basically, that hypothesis is that we are hardwired as a species to have what he calls an affiliation with the rest of nature, for the rest of nature. Studies have been done, for instance, all over the world in what kind of images human beings prefer. And everywhere, whether people spend much time outdoors, whether they're in urban areas or rural areas, or people prefer images of nature to every other image, even if they don't spend much time in it. And the number one landscape that human beings prefer to look at in these images is the savanna. Now, where did we come from? That doesn't prove that there's a genetic link, but it certainly suggests that there's a conversation to be had. So this is part of it. This is part of our humanity. And when we cut that off from our kids, I think we cut out part of them.
I remember when I was a kid, you know, growing up here in Chattanooga, we have plenty of wilderness around here. And so I did, as a kid, spend a lot of time playing video games and watching TV. But I also went out in the woods hiking and camping and just kind of walking around. What specific activities would you recommend for kids out there in the wilderness?
Well, one of the paradoxes that runs throughout, you know, both books, Last Child in the Woods and The Nature Principle, and all the work that the Children in Nature Network has been doing and other organizations have been doing for a decade now. One of the paradoxes is because parents are so fearful. And I understand that fear. I don't put it down. I felt it as a parent myself. They're so fearful of stranger danger, even though the statistics show that violent crime against children outside the home has actually been going down for at least three decades. Knowing that does not take the fear away. I know that personally because I knew that, and I still felt my kids did not have the kind of free-range childhood that I did. But we made sure they got outside. We took them camping. We took them fishing. We took them into nature. We made sure we lived on a canyon where we could see them building their fort down behind our house. As much as possible, we need to be able to stand back. We're not talking about hovering over kids in the woods with nature flashcards. I mean, that's not the optimum. The optimum is a parent calls it being a hummingbird parent, not a helicopter parent. Helicopter parents are people who hover and, you know, their kids never make a decision for themselves when they're outdoors. But a hummingbird parent kind of holds back at a distance and swoops in only when it's life-threatening for the kid. Lets the kid make mistakes. Lets the kid climb up a log and maybe fall off that log. Because that kind of risk, that kind of independent play is extraordinarily important for a couple reasons. One is it prevents later on teenagers dealing with real risks, really difficult risks on their own. If they've never really dealt with these small risks, it's going to be dangerous, even more dangerous for them. But the other reason is that independent play, making up your own rules, making up your own decisions when you're playing, particularly in nature, builds this executive function, literally builds brain architecture. And if we do everything for them, whether it's indoors or whether it's out in nature, we're cutting that off for them. And that doesn't do them any favors in terms of education, in terms of later on becoming an entrepreneur. There's a lot of implications for that, some of which are even economic.
Well, yeah, I remember when I was a kid, one of the big attractions for me of going out and playing in the woods, either by myself or with friends, was just plain independence, being out in a place where, you know, mom and dad weren't there watching over me the whole time.
Yeah. And again, that fear that we feel is real. And I'm not suggesting that we're going to go back anytime soon to, you know, tell them to go outside and come back in when the street lights come on. That era probably is not going to come back. In some neighborhoods it might, but So what we need, I think, are new ways of getting kids outdoors and getting ourselves outdoors. And one of those, for instance, the Children Nature Network promotes, and you can download a free toolkit to do this yourself, is family nature clubs. And these are multiple families that band together and decide to show up for a hike on Saturday at the park. And two, three, four families at a time go out into nature together. And that deals with the fear factor because there is perceived safety in numbers. Now, paradoxically, one would think, well, that's organizing the kids and, you know, supervising them. What we found is that a family that goes out just with their own child or children, the kids tend to cling. They want to get back to the video games, all of that. They whine, all those predictable behaviors. But when two, three, four families go out and there's multiple kids, the kids are off playing hide and seek, doing what kids did for millennia. They're doing independent play, making up their own rules. True, there's not the kind of solitary experience in that, probably, that you and I experience, but at least it's independent play. At least it's under their own locomotion.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with author Richard Louv. He's going to be here in Tennessee at Suwannee for the Connecting with Children Nature Symposium and the Trails and Trilliums Festival. What are you going to be specifically speaking about and doing at this symposium?
Well, the Trails and Trilliums event is something that is bringing out lots of parents and hikers and gardeners and wildlife enthusiasts and art lovers together. And I'll be talking about children in nature, but also about adults in nature. Kind of the theme of Last Child in the Woods and the Nature Principles, you know, what I call nature deficit disorder, which began as a kind of tongue-in-cheek phrase, but has since, you know, the first publication 10 years ago of Last Child has entered the language, and people know it when they see it. And it's not only children that I think suffer from nature deficit disorder, which is not a known medical diagnosis. Perhaps it should be, but it really is a metaphor for what we all know is happening, and it's most evident in children, but it's also for parents, too. I mean, parents need to be outdoors, and so do aunts and uncles and grandparents and people without kids of their own. This affects all of it. It has a profound impact, positive impact, on mental health, physical health, cognitive functioning, ability to learn, attention deficit disorder. There's a long list of things that a new body of major research that has emerged quite recently is showing just how important that is for all of us.
That specific phrase, nature deficit disorder, did you actually coin that or did you popularize that?
I coined it, and it was in the first draft of the book, title of one chapter, and the publisher suggested it be on the cover in the subtitle, and I resisted that, which shows you what I know about marketing. And I'm glad they insisted, because I went back into the book and decided it needed a spine anyhow. I mean, the book needed a stronger theme throughout, and it became that theme. And I'm glad I did that, because I don't think we'd probably be having this conversation today if I hadn't had an insistent publisher.
For people who want more information on the event in Suwannee, they can go to trailsandtrilliums.org. How can people find you personally and the different organizations you're involved in?
Well, the Children and Nature Network is where parents and educators and all kinds of people can go and get the latest research. It's the best place to go to find out about that research, to download toolkits, for instance, how to start a family nature club. They're free. That's at childrenandnature.org. And my own website is richardlouv.com, and that's richardlouv.com.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today. Is there anything else you want to say?
Just that I'm really looking forward to being in Tennessee. I worked in Tennessee in the 70s for a winter, and I love Tennessee, and I'm going to be glad to be back.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was noted environmentalist and author Richard Louv, co-founder of the Children and Nature Network. He's going to be in Suwannee on April 10th, giving a program for educators as part of the Connecting Children with Nature Symposium. He's also going to be taking part in the Trails and Trilliums Festival, also happening in Suwannee, that takes place from April 10th to April 12th. And his presentation will be on April 11th. You can find more information about this online at trailsandtrilliums.org. Again, April 10th through the 12th, trailsandtrilliums.org. You're listening to Around and About. I'm Michael Edward Miller.